I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. OTB Nation, welcome in to episode number 309 of the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB and Deej coming at you. We got a lot to dive into. From the NLL, some PLL signings before free agency has opened once again have gone down, even though we've known about one of them since the tail end of the quarterfinals of the postseason. And we'll also talk some college lacrosse with the one and only Portal Jones. Be sure to check out the social series that will be up by the time you guys are listening to this episode. And I'm going to say it right off the bat, Deej. The people don't know what they're in for next week.
No, they don't.
They don't know what they're in for next week. We don't even know what we're in for next week. But Champ Series is going to be quite a time. Even though Deej won't be there, we're still recording the pod. If we have the capability to do it, depending on how everything works out, we'll have Deej virtually on some of the days, and we're doing some things. Some things are thanging, and I was up late last night doing that thang, and I'm very excited. Like it was very cool for a lot of this to start coming together. Oddly enough, on the anniversary of our company, which happened on the 7th of February. And just more and more progression in this lacrosse universe that we have built is fucking crazy. And I just can't wait to officially announce everything. But just know, if you're going to be at Champ Series, pop out. If you're not going to be at Champ Series, we're still going to pop out for you. And I can't wait to officially announce everything.
You talking to me now?
I've been talking to everybody. You're part of the people. You're part of the nation.
I just didn't know if I was supposed to interject there or not. I didn't think so, but I don't know.
I'm fucking hype, man.
I mean, yes. I'm just upset I can't be there. It's not fair. But I guess it is fair because I got one thing, but it costed me another, so it's okay.
Old Thanos head ass.
you the one that put that in motion last night.
That'll be everywhere. Before we get into everything that we're going to talk about on this episode that is official, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTBLaxPod. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. DM the guy that has Deej's first name on Instagram and let him know it's on site. Parody. because Deej was trying to change his Instagram handle to just his first name, and it wasn't available for him, and he didn't know why. I searched it. There was somebody that had it, and we think that he has blocked everyone with Deej's full government name.
No, for real. He blocked me because I couldn't find it. I like tried to do it, and then Instagram was like, nah, bro, you can't. And I'm like, what? Like, who has my name? Like, huh? And I like went to look, and nothing popped up. I clicked on accounts and everything. So I'm like, Instagram is just pulling my jack right now? Like, is this for real?
The way I wish I had the foresight when I was making my social media accounts back in 2012 for all of these, for the most part, of wishing I would have just grabbed KB when it was able to be less than four letters.
Mm-hmm.
I wish.
I wouldn't have fire.
I would have wish. Been fire. One day I'll have the it's opportunity to acquire those social media handles.
It's too late.
I'll just retire the other ones and we'll be good to go.
Right. let me know when that comes along.
Yeah, we're closer than we think.
Uh-huh.
Follow me at KBIZZL311, and of course subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Keep following and subscribing. It really does help the show continue to grow. Helps us, you know, garner a new audience, helps more people find OTB. So keep subscribing, and let your people know OTB is the place to be for everything lacrosse. Not just college, not just the pros. We got everything on lock. So keep subscribing. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. I am going to sneeze. I felt that coming on from the moment I started going down the YouTube rundown. I got another one on deck. Deej, tell the people to subscribe.
Make sure y'all subscribe to our YouTube channel. Y'all know how it goes. Underground Sports Philadelphia. You can get full video podcasts of not only OTB, but every other podcast on our network. Actually, I got that down pat.
You got that on lock.
Whoa. You think I do this once a week?
But yeah, like you said, subscribe to the YouTube channel. It really does help us continue to grow. We got some milestones in the pipeline.
Yeah, I didn't know what milestone, what subscribers we're at.
I'll let everyone know right now, at this portion of the recording, we are sitting at 740 subscribers on YouTube. Let's get to 800. Let's make that happen sooner rather than later. Like Deej said, you get full video episodes of this show every week, full video episodes of every show on our network, live streams, original video content, shorts, clips. It's all on our YouTube channel, so keep subscribing. youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia, and get your merch at PHI Apparel Company. Uh-oh.
I don't know. I'm almost positive that came through, bro. I let out a gnarly burp.
I didn't even notice.
It was like right while you were talking. I was like, oh, excuse me.
See, we're recording this mid NBA trade deadline, and I thought something happened because the Sixers are just destroying my will to live. Parody.
I just burped.
But get your merch at PHI Apparel Company, the best merch partners in the game. Shirts, hoodies. I gotta order a hoodie to have it for Champ Series. That just reminded me, having that intuition there. I got to get my OTB hoodie. And we got that merch challenge going on. If you got that merch on you at Champ Series, and you show that you are subscribed to the pod, we're going to hook somebody up in a big-time way. So if you're at Champ Series, get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off all your merch orders. Rock that stuff down to Champ Series. Show that you're subscribed to the pod. We're going to hook somebody up. We're going to make that happen. But get your merch. It is the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing. When you get your merch, we'll repost it. We'll tag us in it. Tag PHI Apparel Company in it. We'll repost it on all of our socials. That's phiapparel.co. Code underground. 10% off your merch orders. Deej, we had quite the week of lacrosse across the board. what stood out to you just as a whole? I feel like now that we're full-fledged into just doing everything.
Nothing stood out. That was the problem. Like, I sat down for half a second on Sunday when I finally could to watch some lacrosse. And it was Saturday night. And I just went, wow, what a time to be a lacrosse fan. What a time to be a lacrosse fan. We got multiple overtime games in the NLL and tons of close games. It was rocking this weekend. And then also the college game, multiple of those games go to overtime. Multiple of those games were close. We get some upsets. Like, hello.
Shout out Colgate.
Like last week, it was just like you couldn't be wrong as a lacrosse fan. Even the teams that got upset or lost, most of them were in close games. Bellarmine, sure, you lost by 8, but you put up 12 on Duke. Like, unless your name is Vermont or Hampton, you didn't really lose week one as a college team. Everybody else was in far, like, great positions. The only teams who kind of lost week one were the ones who didn't play in week zero. You know, the Michigans, Virginias, those kind of teams who just didn't play. They kind of took an L since they didn't play and no one's talking about them. But other than that, everybody kind of won and came out on top. Like, Colgate gets their win over Penn State and then goes and gets trounced by Syracuse. But with the way that the Orange are looking right now, I don't know if anybody's going to beat them this year. They look absolutely fantastic.
They are the poster children of juice.
No, for real.
Not just because they're orange.
Not just because they're orange and not because we're pandering to Brian, but because they look good.
Like, I might be pandering to my boy Joey Spallina because that motherfucker is on one.
I mean, you saw what I said.
Man.
My homie got 80,000 points and then played in 2 games. Like, it's unreal.
That boy is on the what the hell's the game show network? Fucking no whammies. Stop. And he's hitting on everything. Pressure luck. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. That's like my favorite game show from Game Show Network.
Oh, top tier.
Smacking them things every single time. 20,000 trip to Cabo. A new car. That's Joey Spallina scoring goals in college right now, bro.
It's actually insane. But he's
watching that thing go and then every other team they're playing is whammies nonstop.
It's crazy. I know I didn't get a chance to bring him up during my Portal Jones videos that you guys are able to see if you haven't already or you have already. Doesn't matter. You saw that I did not talk about my man Josh Sawada. He transferred over to Duke, and he looked good.
Yeah, he reported as eligible this week.
Yeah, he did. Man balled this week. And you know what that makes me say? Is Michigan. You know how good we could have been if we just let him into the program? Like he was already a star lacrosse player at the University of Michigan and graduated from your program, but he can't get in your grad one. What are we doing here? But he sure looks good down there in Durham, I'll tell you that much. Him and BO together is unreal. And then you add Dyson Williams and McAdory to that. The list keeps going. Duke looks great as well. Like, I'm just really excited to see how teams fare out this week. There are some really good games. Providence 12-6 over Holy Cross was a good game, and so was Marquette doubling up. Air Force 12-6. Like, the college game was fantastic to have back. Like, I'm so hyped for that. And the NLL gave
the NLL this week was on one. Like, this past week of the NLL was on crack. It was insane. We're gonna recap the NLL right now. We'll get more into the college game later on in the show. But NLL Week 10, Deej, was the best week, I think, hands down, we've had so far this season. I know we still have about, you know, half a season to go, but my goodness, from there was one blowout, and it was the final game of the weekend. Every other game was within 3 goals or less. We had multiple overtimes, like you said. Every game was back and forth. You were on the edge of your seat. This was hands down the best weekend of the NLL we've had in 2023-2024 so far. It went a little some. Shout out to Swizz Beatz like this. A crushing overtime loss for the Philadelphia Wings at the Wells Fargo Center on Friday night. They lose 15-14 in the rematch against Halifax. Georgia survives at home against Vancouver 12-11 in overtime. The New York Riptide, we said it last week, don't let them get hot. But, bro, I think they're getting hot. They beat Calgary 11-10. Las Vegas stuns Albany in Albany 9-6. Buffalo hangs on to beat Rochester 15-14. Saskatchewan holds off Panther City to win 10-9. Toronto takes down Calgary 9-7. And then San Diego just goes blitzkrieg bop on Colorado and absolutely demoralizes them 16-7. The Wings, I'll start there, obviously, being that I was at the game, covered the game, got to talk to players and coach Paul Day afterwards. Even though they gave up 15 goals, you'd think, you know, giving up 15, like, that's a poor defensive effort. You know, what happened? Outside of a five-goal run that Halifax went on in the third quarter to kind of start things off in the second half, this was easily, and I mean easily, the best defensive effort I've seen from the Wings all season long. They were gritty. They were tough. They were ruthless with just being aggressive and physical. It was a positive direction, and Chad Tutton talked to us after the game. He answered one question, and it was mine, oddly enough. And he said, you know, they simplified a lot of things on the defense, and he thinks that it's really helped them be more, you know, cohesive as a unit. But it's the little things that are still killing them with one bad shift, one turnover, one bad pass that is kind of causing a lot of the miscues and mishaps for the Wings right now. The offense stalled again, and I don't know what it's going to take. There's too much talent, and you and I talk about this almost every single week and have even last year. There's too much talent on this offense for the Wings where it's not even like it's ball-dominant guys. Joe Resiterits, Mitch Jones, those guys can pass the ball and be fine with racking up assists. There's too much talent, though, for this team to not be scoring in, like, bunches throughout a game and not stalling. You know, 14 goals, it normally should win you a game. And they had to claw back and fight back throughout this entire game, battled through some weird ref calls. But at the end of the day, it wasn't the refs that killed them. It wasn't, you know, the defense that really killed them. It was just some inconsistencies. And, you know, the transition game also was the best it's been all year. They really used the transition game to score, to move the ball. And I don't know if you caught this, but it stood out to me throughout that entire game, Deej. They used Scott Domine like a deep threat wide receiver in transition, like multiple times. And I asked Paul Day about it. I asked Scott Domine about it. And they both kind of said, like, that's the game plan. With a player like Scott, you know, use his speed to get down the floor and trusting him to corral in a deep pass and be down there kind of one-on-one and beat the defender, beat the goalie and score, which he did. It was an interesting tactic. I hope they employ it more because it seemed to work against a team like Halifax, and Scott Domine said it himself. Halifax has a bunch of guys who are slower getting off the floor in transition. Use that to your advantage. You know, if you have a guy who can zoom down the floor like that, and I think Marcus Minichiello is another one who can do the same thing. They're both lengthy and fast. Use them like fucking slot receivers and have them run a nine route down the floor and just put faith in them that they're going to be able to corral in that pass from whether it's Higgy or a defender who gets the ball on a turnover or a shot clock reset. And use the transition game like that to your advantage now that you don't have Trevor Baptiste.
Yes, but it's more based upon taking away late clock opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that stands for like EOQ, EOH, EOG, and a quarter and a half in a game. You want to try and limit the goals you're giving up at that piece, but also what late clock stands for is end of shot clock. And if you're constantly sprinting a guy out, or you're constantly connecting on these long outlets, or you're, even if you're just leaking that guy out and you're never really throwing him a pass, or every pass ends up becoming a ground ball deep in their end, they're going to start taking guys off earlier. They're going to start making sure that they transition, or they're subbing in a space where they can take away that transition opportunity, which then means it's one guy going on two or three guys trying to score at the end of the shot clock versus having five guys in and having five threats coming at you in an offensive way. You now limit that to three or two, and you can handle that better and then still have your outlets on multiple sides of the floor to then move the ball up and push transition whatever way you want. Or even if you decide to slow it down in that sense and you just clear opposite of the box, get everybody on, and then let your offense work for 18 seconds or 17, whatever it is that you have left. Both of those options work, but it really just forces that team to sub in a way that takes that away. And if they never do, now you're just – Calgary is a great team that does that, and so is Panther City. Both of those teams do a great job of, oh, you don't want to sub any faster, even though we've been doing this all game? Fine. We'll keep going over top to these guys and keep pushing transition until you actually stop it. You watch that game against Las Vegas where Panther City won like 20-7 or whatever. Half of those goals were in transition, and it was just them leaking out, going quickly, and going over top in the pass, and they never stepped back to stop it. So you have two options there, and both of them benefit you, especially as the wings, where you have the offense to slow it down every time if you want and get your guys out there and let them work, or you have the guys in transition who can score if they have the opportunity. Use it while you can, and then that allows Nick to kind of be in a position where he's like, okay, we have another transition opportunity besides myself, so I can be a little more comfortable to just play and get used to what's going on around. Like, he's not doing bad, but you can tell he's kind of feeling the pressure of trying to get the team the ball so that the offense has opportunities. Whereas if they're pushing that transition and they know they can get opportunities there, that allows that part of the game to kind of just become more fluent and natural so he can really step into that.
Yeah, this was a tough loss. I mean, the Wings are now tied with Calgary for the second worst record in the league.
That's not a place you want to be.
No, we're both down bad.
Real bad.
The only team with a worse record, and it's by virtue of playing one extra game so far, is Vancouver at 2-6. Something's got to happen for this Wings team. I know they're excited to go on the road, but when you're 0-4 at home, it's not ideal to be kind of just giving up your home floor advantage every single time someone comes in. But DJ, I wanna propose this. You know how we have jersey analytics for players in our various sports, especially lacrosse, for this show. I want to introduce a new analytical category. It's called concessions analytics. I have been doing the math. I think we have garnered enough data to make sure that this is an accurate statement. So concessions analytics, everyone, is your team's win-loss record as it associates to specific concessions being open or closed in your team's home arena on game day. Now, hear me out. This is also not a sponsor, but if they want to sponsor us, we are more than game. But, hear me out, the Wings are 0-4 this season at the Wells Fargo Center in four home games played. In those four home games, Shake Shack has been closed every single game. I think the math has mathed quite enough to have four games. You're 0-4. Wells Fargo Center, Comcast Spectacor, Philadelphia Wings. I am imploring you. As they said in history, Mr. President, open up the Shake Shack. 0-4 with Shake Shack closed. We won't know if it's a true statistical category of wins and losses until we open the Shake Shack. We got to open the Shake Shack.
See, I wish I could, like, say something. But where I'm at, everything's open because that's where they're going to make the most money because the teams aren't good. And even when they are good, people are still coming, but they still want to eat and drink. And so everything's open here. So it doesn't factor into our winning and losing at all, which also means I don't think it's factoring into yours and they have other problems. But I get where you're coming from.
But here's the other kicker. Here's the other kicker. Ready? Every home game that I've attended, because I did miss one, but I was privy to information that Shake Shack was closed the opening game. Every other concession stand on the main concourse is open. Shake Shack, only one closed.
Have they been open for any other event?
I'm not sure. I haven't been to a Flyers or Sixers game this season, but I will do the data search there. I will ask people who have been. But when it comes to the Philadelphia Wings, 0-4 when Shake Shack is closed.
You are literally just, what do they call it?
A fiend for Shake Shack? Yes.
No. Yes, you're that.
Yes.
It's not saving face. What do they be calling it?
A creative at work? Yes.
No, I can't think of the word. I'm going to think of it at one point.
Creating a viral clip to have Shake Shack repost everywhere? Yes.
Sure, you can do that, but it's like you really just like you're coping. Oh, my God. I don't know why it took me so long to find that word.
Now,
you're coping so hard.
If coping is a synonym for you to the word hungry, yes.
Nah, you are coping so hard. You're like, oh, the wings aren't good right now. What can I blame? Oh, I can blame.
It's not even that they're not good. No. They're just not closing games. But
oh, darn, they're not winning games because this place is closed. Oh, what a cope.
No, my stomach is like, hey, you're hungry.
Okay, there's 1,000 other concession stands to go to. You like you just said.
But anywho.
Like I said, you're coping.
No, I'm literally the clip. Oh, that brother's starving.
Coping.
Because I'll tell you what, in the past,
at the same time.
In the past, Wings victories when I've had Shake Shack at halftime have tasted that much better.
You are coping right now.
But I haven't been able to taste the dub. Shout out to Jameis Winston.
You are coping so hard right now.
This is concessions analytics. We need other people. We need our listeners who live in other cities. I'm talking to Chris in Buffalo. I'm talking to Hootie in Colorado. Diggs for San Diego. Like, I need to know if certain concession stands are closed for you guys as well, and what the Mammoth, the Seals, the Bandits, etc. records are when and if those establishments are open and closed. Concession analytics, new statistic, bringing it to the board.
Cope, bro. I can't wait for all of them to call you out for coping.
Let me live. We're in the same boat.
I didn't say you couldn't cope. You don't want to admit you're coping. It's fine.
I'm not. Cope. I am just trying to get Shake Shack to sponsor the fucking podcast. You won't let me do it. I've been seeing them pop up on some shows. Throw us some ad dollars. I want the green neon burger logo up on this podcast.
Right. So you can't be blaming them for losing if you're trying to get them to be on the pod.
I'm trying to have them open so they make money that they can throw at us. If they're closed, they ain't making money.
Yeah, you could just say that. Just be like, we need Shake Shack to open. That's all you got to say. You ain't got to throw the, you ain't got to throw them under the bus for the Wings losing. That ain't got
throwing them under the bus. Yeah. I'm saying, Mr. President, tear down this wall. And by wall, I mean open up those grates.
Wall is crazy, bro. Where were you on J6?
I'm talking about Ronald Reagan tearing down the wall in Berlin, bro. What are you talking about? I'm talking about uniting nations, not separating them. That's crazy character assassination from you.
You confirmed.
My man pulled out a bow like he's an archer. Pop! Came right in my throat.
That was so fucking corny.
Damn.
I can't believe you just did that.
Went right at my neck.
You were so corny for that. Week 10 was fucking awesome. That show was great. I'm just, like, I can say I'm awfully upset that Calgary lost to New York. Both teams looked like they had a lot of fun, though. So I can't say that.
Calgary's coach didn't have fun.
No, he didn't. but we could have won that game. It was very close, and I'll take the 10-11 loss. Only because we played very well against Toronto the very next day. Like I even tweeted and said how impressed I was with the back-to-back. Like, that's a tough loss at home after playing the day before to a team that, honestly, when you look back at the tape, Calgary's mere inches from beating Toronto. There were 3, 4, 5 shots that hit post or just missed by a little bit that Rosie didn't get any touch on. And we're talking about a completely different game. I mean, mere inches, not even an entire foot out of all of these am I talking. So it's like, that's great. You held them to 9 goals. Nobody they've played has been able to hold them under 10, under 11. And you know, Calgary went out and did that. So there were a lot of really bright points. Even in the Riptide game, they were down a significant amount and then crawled back into that game and proved that they can score goals in a row. So it's not that this Calgary team is bad. They just got to actually put it all together. And last weekend was a good piece of, like, seeing that they have everything. They're just missing a little bit. And I mean, we knew what game of the week was going to be, and that it was. That it was. Is this Albany Frauds? They lost and now they can't win. Is that what's about to happen? They lost and now they can't win. Because how you lose 9-6 to Vegas? Not that Vegas can't hoop. Vegas can ball. But what's going on?
I was going to bring this up.
I didn't get a chance to watch this one, so I just saw, like, tweets and stuff about it, so I have no clue what was going on.
I think it's fair to put Albany on fraud watch.
Okay.
I don't think they're necessarily frauds, but their two losses have been bad.
Yeah.
Like, they look like last year's Albany, to quote Teddy Jenner. They're now third in the standings behind Toronto and San Diego. Buffalo is breathing down their necks. Halifax is right there. They're on fraud watch in my book. Not necessarily all, like, not in the fraud category per se, but they got some things to figure out.
Yeah, 100%. And that was, I just wanted to ask that because I didn't get a chance. Of course, my boy LT4 had me lit, and I was able to watch that overtime game was great. Props to Vancouver for coming out and, I mean, giving them an absolute dogfight. That game was very good to watch. And Did you get a chance to watch Saskatchewan in Panther City or anything from?
I did not get a chance to watch it. I kind of like followed along with everything that was happening. It was a typical Panther City trying to claw back situation. And I should have known, we both should have known, that in a game where Derek Keenan was back on the bench, Saskatchewan would get a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk about me getting the flip game at the end of the week. You know, you got to trust San Diego to chase Dylan Ward out the first time they play him.
Colorado, you want to talk about frauds. Colorado are frauds this year.
He played this whole game, so like they didn't chase him out. But he can't beat them the first time they play. It's just like not a thing for him.
Well, the crazy thing is this is the second time they've played, and he still got shit raced. And I love Wardo. He's a friend of the program. But I think Colorado moving forward, that whenever you're playing San Diego, you just got to play somebody else. Like the evidence is there. Colorado's 3-5. Like they are closer to their season being over than saving their season.
I mean, so is, so are our two teams.
No, I think Calgary and Philly have the ability to figure their things out.
I mean, maybe, okay, maybe you, but like the Calgary schedule is, they're not in good shape.
Yeah, but Calgary is a team that's known to make moves at the deadline too. So like both the Wings and Calgary make moves like that. I'm not counting them out, and there's too much talent on those teams to, plus like, Calgary has goaltending and
well, like I would love to say that, but like Toronto this weekend, Halifax the weekend after, or next weekend, and then Philly, which is probably like a good reset for them. They play Philly twice. Yeah, they play Philly twice back to back weekends. And then Georgia. I don't trust them to beat Georgia.
Yeah, but Georgia's so Jekyll and Hyde that
man.
With the way Calgary's playing right now, the formula is Georgia plays down to competition, and they almost lost to Vancouver in overtime this week.
And they would probably beat us in overtime, too. No way are we beating San Diego. Maybe we beat Albany, but, like, that's a stretch. I like the back-to-back against Saskatchewan.
You're also very pessimistic when it comes to your sports team. So I'm taking everything you're saying with a grain of salt. And when Calgary sneaks in as like a 7 or 8 seed, I'm going to be like, I told you so.
Dog, okay, let's look at the standings right now. We don't have the head-to-head over New York. Rochester is 1,000% going to win more games. I guess we could beat Panther City. I trust us to beat Vegas. I don't know if I trust this to be Colorado. Like you just said, Keenan's back on the bench for the Rush. And we have to actually beat the Wings, who have the one up on us. How? Wait, how the heck? No.
Differential?
Ours is 3. Or is it? No. Yeah. Ours is 3. It should be. We've given up 77 and have 80.
The only thing I think of is we have a tiebreaker because we beat New York.
And yeah, and we didn't. Yeah. So like and in order, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'd have to get above Rochester. Well, Rochester's gotta keep losing. Or we got to expect the Riptide to slow down sometime soon? Okay.
Seen that happen before. Not saying they will, but it's not like it's out of the question.
I don't think it's out of the question, but man, I need some help. And I don't see a lot of help in front of us.
There's a lot of work to be done with a lot of teams.
But you don't think Colorado can do any, huh?
I don't. I think they, like, genuinely, dude, I think Ryan Lee being out for them like was a dagger. Like it's very similar to me with the Sixers and Embiid being out, and whenever Embiid's out, like everyone has to play well, and if one person like, doesn't contribute the way that they are capable of, everything falls apart. That's what Colorado is without Ryan Lee on offense. It's crazy, but we've seen it. And, you know, guys have stepped up and they've been able to win some games here, but they are not the same team without Ryan Lee.
Not at all. I think Connor Kelly has come in and helped them in some games. And then not that he hasn't been productive all season, but like some games you can really see he's taken over that role and helped them and is looking to extend that part of his game. And then other times it's like he's got one goal or he's kind of just figuring out how he fits in. Ryan Lee was dominant. 3 goals, 4 goals a game, you know, 5-6 points a game. You need that. You can't lose that because how do you replace that? You almost can't. So they're definitely seeing the loss of Ryan Lee affect them at a large scale.
Yeah. So the standings look like this. Toronto is 6-1 at the top. San Diego and Albany are both 6-2. Buffalo is 5-3. Halifax is 4-3. Georgia is 5-4. New York is 4-4. Rochester is 3-4. Panther City and Vegas are 3-4. Colorado is 3-5. Saskatchewan is 2-4. The Wings in Calgary are both 2-5. And Vancouver is 2-6. It's tough. It's tough. I think it's good that the Wings have a bye week this week, although they always talk about how they want to keep playing. I think this is a good reset for them. They've got 2 straight road games against Vegas and Calgary, where they'll be on the road together. I think that's huge. Before they come back home March 2nd, which, if I'm not mistaken, Deej, you'll be at that game.
Which one?
Or at least we're allegedly attempting to have you here for that game.
March 2nd?
March 2nd, Calgary and the Wings.
Yeah, actually, because why was I going to go there? Oh, just because it was a chance to see Calgary.
Mm-hmm. And it's the Marvel game.
Oh, yeah. I have a reason to wear my Marvel Vans. The ones I got on right now, actually. Give them a nice little preview to the people. You know, nothing crazy. You got the nice little Iron Man. So, you know, I throw these on. I got a Marvel t-shirt of any kind? I think I do. I don't know. I think I can. I think I might be able to swing that.
So, yeah, those are the next Wings, like, upcoming games. We're working on getting some guys and potentially Coach Day back on the show over the next couple of weeks. I know we said last week, too, that Brett Frood was going to be on this episode. We're just still scheduling that to get his schedule locked in and just getting him on the show. So apologies that it wasn't this week, but we did say kind of a thing, too. It could be next week, but he will be coming on the show. That's for sure. That is confirmed. It's just a matter of the scheduling. Let's get to week 11, Deej. On deck, how does week 11 follow up week 10? Well, these are the matchups. We've got things kicking off Friday at 6:30 Eastern time in Halifax as Vegas travels to take on the Thunderbirds. Colorado at Panther City on Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Then we go to Saturday, 7 o'clock, 2 games, Georgia at Rochester, Calgary at Toronto. And then 7:30 Eastern time, San Diego at New York. I'm like 50-50 on if I will be at that game. Just a matter of if I'm up for the drive 3.5 hours to Long Island or not. But I'll let you guys know if I'll be there. It is New York's Marvel night for the Marvel partnership with the NLL. So that's exciting. If you're going to the game, they're giving out the comic book. Scoop them thangs up if you're going. And I'm not there. Somebody scoop one of them things up for me and Deej. And then Saturday, 10 o'clock Eastern time, the nightcap, Saskatchewan at Vancouver. I mean, there's a lot to unpack for this week. I think Calgary-Toronto playing so closely back-to-back is interesting. San Diego-New York is going to be very fun. Georgia-Rochester is always a great matchup, and who the hell knows with the most wild card matchup of all time between Vegas and Halifax, but a lot of fun matchups this weekend. What are you looking forward to from the NLL this week, Deej?
I mean, obviously, I want to see Calgary kind of get some get back. And, I mean, losing 7-9, like I said, to Toronto, who had been on a roll, has only lost one game, and is literally looking like the best team in the NLL, which they currently are, to come back and match that energy and come out of this one with a win, since we'll be fresh and rested. That's personally what I would love to see coming out. But, I mean, Rochester, Georgia is going to be an absolute show. That one's going to be a show. Obviously, LT4 and everything they've been doing offensively. Brett Dobson is having, I don't know, because, like, there's games where he looks like a star. And then there's games where it's like, is this Brett Dobson? So, like, I don't know what's going on there. I don't think it's anything, like, majorly huge, but it's something kind of keep an eye on, because as the season goes on and they get closer to playoffs and this team continues to play this way, he's going to have to get better if they want a chance to, like, advance in the playoffs. So that's kind of just something I've been watching, is how kind of up and down. I don't want to say it like that. Like, he hasn't been, like, drastic up and down, but he's kind of just been flopping back and forth kind of like this. And that's just something I've seen. And obviously, another potential game of the week candidate is San Diego, New York, believe it or not. But like you said, New York's hot. And their offense is hot, and then you're bringing in San Diego, which has basically nothing but offense. Can we see a New York staple 17-15 game, please? Can we see one of those, please? That's, like, what I'm hoping for most, is for that game to have super high scoring potential game of the week candidacy to it, in terms of how electric the offensive side can be. And then I guarantee you, I'm going to set up my phone and I'm going to record, because I guarantee you I fall asleep on this game, not because it's 10 o'clock, but because it's going to be boring. Okay. I watch a lot of late games. I love the 10 o'clock games for whatever reason, because most of the time they're on Fridays and I don't get home until 9 o'clock most days, because I'm broadcasting basketball. So it's, like, right in time for me. After I shower, I can watch it while I'm eating dinner. So, like, it's prime time. 10 o'clock games, I love. This, you could have gave this to me at 6:30 on a Friday when I would have missed it. Not the Halifax game. I want to see that. Put this game on at 6 o'clock on Friday. Give me Halifax at 10. What are we doing here? But
yeah, man, I mean, them 6:30 Halifax starts are brutal.
It's so tough, bro. I literally have forgotten about the multiple. There's been Fridays where I didn't have basketball because the schedule just fell that way. And I ended up turning that game on in the middle of the third quarter because I was like, oh,
well,
yeah.
I'll get ahead of it for you. Next week as well, Halifax plays 6:30 Eastern time on Friday.
Oh, I got basketball this Friday and next Friday.
Just for everybody. Right. Everybody out there who needs to be prepared. 6:30 Halifax.
I'm going to pull that one up, though, while I'm watching, because Buffalo Halley, I got to see. That's a must-see. Buffalo and Halley is a must-see every time it's on.
Something else I'm excited for, I'm not 100% sure because I didn't get to tune in to the San Diego-Colorado game, but welcome back to the boy, Eli Gobrecht.
I watched that one back. Eli had a great game.
He's back.
Eli had a great, but it was more so San Diego was just overpowering on offense. They were just insanely good on offense.
Another
I wouldn't be surprised to see San Diego Toronto in the chip, dude. Like, oh my god, if San Diego plays like they did against Colorado, it's hard for anybody to beat them.
San Diego can do all of this, but they got to prove that they can win in the playoffs. That's the type of team they are. Like, they win in the regular season constantly, but they need to prove that they can get it done in the playoffs. Also, speedy recovery. Best wishes to the boy Tahoka. He's on injured reserve for Buffalo. Get well soon, brother.
What happened?
I don't know. They, like, right before their game, it was, like, placed him on injured reserve. So hopefully he's all good and gets well soon. The Yeah, I think San Diego, New York is going to be absolutely electric. New York fans, show out. Go to the game. It's going to be awesome. Plus, it's Marvel night, so I'm sure there's going to be some awesome integration with Marvel. Calgary, Toronto is very intriguing, like I said, just because of the quick turnaround and how, like, back-to-back this truly is, this time in Toronto. But seeing a team that close on the schedule as quickly as possible is pretty interesting because you have instant analysis on how you both play. And Georgia-Rochester, I'm excited for because that game is always just, like, high scoring, some crazy shit happens, and that feels like a rivalry almost, which is fun. We need that. I don't think anything transaction-wise has happened. Well, San Diego placed Jerry Stotts on the active roster, Mac O'Keefe on injured reserve, so they won't have Mac O'Keefe this week. Which sucks for him because New York guy doesn't get to play in the hometown game. Get well soon, Mac. But I think without any further ado, Deej, let's get to the pick pond.
Let's do it, baby.
Dish out our NLL Week 11 Beer Money Picks of the Week brought to you by Kenwood Beer. It's a refreshing light beer, and it's the official beer of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Just 120 calories, only 8 grams of carbs, 4.1% ABV. Go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, and Maryland areas. You can also get it at your local liquor stores in those markets. Also use the Kenwood Beer store. Get those pint glasses for your home bars. Big game is coming up. Have something classy to drink out of. Also get the Kenwood Beer apparel. St. Patrick's Day right around the corner. They got the Kelly Green sweatshirts and t-shirts. Awesome apparel from Kenwood Beer. It's kenwoodbeer.com. Must be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, we start in Halifax. Desert dogs, thunderbirds, adjective animals across the board. How do you see this one playing out? Friday night, 6:30 p.m. out there in Nova Scotia.
Home game. The Nest is going to be insane. And Las Vegas is just a weird team to me right now that's kind of just out playing lacrosse. It doesn't look like they have like a true identity or that they really know what's going on out there or in their locker room. But I got to trust Halifax to bring it home.
Yeah, I'm going with Halifax as well. Just makes too much sense. They're playing really well, coming off a big-time victory last week, too. I'll take Halifax. Colorado heads to Panther City at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. I think Panther City's going to win. I think they're going to be pissed off after not beating a Saskatchewan team that they should have beaten after coming off that big-time goal-scoring game. They put up 21 on Vegas. I think Panther City's got some just internal revenge and motivation for themselves to go out and get a big dub at home. Give me Panther City.
You know what? I'll take Panther City as well. I was thinking on a few things there, mostly about goaltending. Just trying to think about like Dylan Ward's like bounce back rate. Because you remember that crazy tweet I brought up, or crazy stat I brought up about the Whip Snakes. They've only won one time after absolutely demolishing the Woods. I don't think it's quite the same for Dylan. I think he's lost a couple times after losing to San Diego tough like that. So I'll take Panther City as well.
We move to Saturday slate. Georgia at Rochester. Lyle Thompson versus Connor Fields. Andrew Q versus Ryan Smith. How do you see this one playing out, Deej?
Oh, I told you I wasn't going to choose against my guy LT4 and my league pass team of the year too many more times, and this is not one of those times that I'm going to be choosing to do that. I trust LT4 in this offense to continue to shine the way that they have, but I do think it'll be a close game. Rochester is good on the offensive end. I think they'll be able to get a Dauber a little bit, but I trust LT4 to do what LT4 does.
I'm taking Rochester. Very much like you, I think this is going to be a very close game, probably a 1-2-goal game at most. I just trust Rochester's defense a little bit more than I trust Georgia's defense right now. Georgia's so Jekyll and Hyde this year, too, that, I mean, would it shock you? And I know you're taking Georgia, but would it shock you, after coming off an overtime win, that they just go back to being what they've done all year long and just some weird ass loss? It wouldn't shock me in the slightest. Would it also not shock me in the slightest if they win? Of course. But I'm going to go with Rochester. They're at home. I trust their defense a little bit more. And Fields, he's playing at an MVP level like he has the last two seasons. So give me Rochester. Your boys head to Toronto, Deej. It's Calgary, it's Toronto, which I don't know why. I guess because it's just before it was East versus West, but I saw so many people talking about how this is like the premier Canadian rivalry in the NLL. And I was like, huh?
But like, I mean, I guess because they're like the most consistent. I guess like Saskatchewan had it. Like, it seems like Saskatchewan is like either good or bad, and like with Calgary or Toronto, they're just good. Like, they're both good, even if they don't have like Calgary's not having a Calgary-esque season, but it's not because they're not a good team. It's not because they're not out.
And I guess because Halifax used to be Rochester. So it's not like a full fledged like deep rooted type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Vancouver used to be the Stealth and not the Warriors, so it's like a different vibe. But I was like, I saw that, and I was like, how's an old interconference matchup the pristine and premier rivalry in Canada? Nonetheless, it's a rematch of last week in Toronto this time. I still think Toronto is the best team in the league, and they're going to keep rolling. I got Toronto winning this week.
As much as I would love to pick Calgary and say we're going to steal one back while they're home, as I'm hoping that happens in the deepest parts of my heart. But I got to trust Toronto at home. I trust Toronto in most spaces because they're 6-1 this year. So I'm going to go with Toronto as well.
We move to 7:30 Eastern time, just a half hour down the clock. San Diego heads to Long Island to take on the Riptide, one of the hottest teams in the NLL. Deej, how do you see this one going down between the Seals and the Riptide?
I hate this. San Diego is like one of the hardest teams to pick against because they pretty much have everything they need. And New York is just so hot right now. Like, they seem to can't miss. But I think this comes down to goaltending. But with goaltending comes a little bit of defense. And I think San Diego is going to be able to help Origliere and put him in better positions than the New York defense will be able to do against San Diego's offense. So I got to trust the Seals to come into Nassau and head back to the East Coast or West Coast, head back to the West Coast with a dub.
Yeah, I'm going San Diego, and for another reason, and it's not that New York can't handle the stripe, but when you got Trevor Baptiste getting you possessions, I think that's a huge advantage for you, along with, I think, the likes of Dane Doby, Westberg, who for whatever reason is the most criminally underrated player in all of pro lacrosse in my book. It's crazy how people just like overlook how good he is. He has been a force for San Diego this year and was absolutely filthy for the Redwoods in the summer this past season in the PLL. Like, I was in the press box a couple weeks ago when the Wings played the Seals, and someone said, Wesley Berg, I remember him terrorizing Notre Dame with Denver a few years ago. And I was like, pal, that was like, that's closer to being a decade ago than a couple years ago. That's how underrated Wes Berg is, though. But I'm going San Diego in this one as well. Then we move to the nightcap in Vancouver. It's a battle to stay out of the basement for Saskatchewan as they take on the Warriors. How you got this one playing out, Deej, between two of the less exciting teams this year in the NLL?
I miss you, Kurt. I really do. You know how good Calgary would be right now if he was on our bench and not theirs?
Mm-hmm.
Vancouver might even be better if you wasn't on their bench and you were on ours. So with that being said, Keenan's pretty good. He's got a pretty good record on his bench. When he's standing back there, the guy wins.
He's 5-0 as an interim.
The guy wins when he's standing on the bench. So I think I'm going to trust him to win again. And Kurt, I know I don't have any pull whatsoever up in the Saddle Dome, but I think they want you back. Just give them a call. I want you back. No. Just give them a call. I think something can be worked out.
Kurt, give me one more chance.
I'm just saying, you miss us, we miss you. And y'all gonna lose this weekend because I said so.
Y'all like when SpongeBob went to go work at the Chum Bucket.
Facts.
It's just a greasy spoon.
You like plankton when Karen finally left.
I am oddly enough going to ride with Kurt, and I'm gonna take Vancouver to get a win this week. I don't know why. Just looking at the matchup, something tells me Vancouver is going to win. And I'm probably wrong because for whatever reason, I've been god-awful in these picks this year so far. Something's got to change.
I noticed a couple weeks ago I jumped you and I said, oh! The only reason I noticed is because, like, I think I was looking at one of our TikToks or something. And it was either that or Instagram. And my picks were first and yours were second. I was like, oh, I'm in front! Turn me up! Yeah, it's a wrap now. You're not getting it back. So
I got to go. I'm going to go with Vancouver and hopefully swing some games.
I haven't had my 6-0 week yet. You know I'm good for at least one of those. So
neither of us have.
Yeah, I'm good for one. So just know you had your little run at the beginning of the season. It's wraps now. You might as well just
– You're like the
– You better ask the PLL to come around.
You're like the clip from Malcolm in the Middle with the youngest son. The time is now, old man.
Yep. Time is now, old man. I'm still young.
I don't even know what our records were last week. Let me actually.
I went 4-2, I think.
It was.
Let's
see.
One, two, three. I went 4-3. I don't think you did that well, though.
I went 4-4.
So, wait, I went 5-3.
Yeah. Yeah. 4-4. So, I can't not count. Terrible, but not as good as it could have been.
Math is so hard, people.
Yeah, because you got the Halifax win and the San Diego win, but I had the Riptide.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only difference. But those are our beer money picks of the week for week 11. We both have Halifax, Panther City. Deej has Georgia. I have Rochester. We both have Toronto and San Diego. Deej has Saskatchewan. I've got Vancouver. Those are your NLL week 11 beer money picks of the week brought to you by Kenwood Beer. Talk a little PLL hot stove. Not too much has, gone down, but the boy Matt Rambo has re-signed with the Whips through 2026. He was already signed through 2025. but they just extended him an extra year. So shout out to the boy getting that bag. The other big announcement that we kind of knew already after their post-game press conference when they lost the Cannons was that RP Tree is back with the Woods on a one-year deal through 2024. And friend of the program, Mike Chanenchuk, has signed through 2024 with the Whips. So he's back for year 11. I don't know if anybody else has re-signed since we last recorded. I'm going to pull up the free agency tracker. But those are the three big ones that have kind of made the splashes across the board. Your thoughts, Deej, on guys staying put?
I think that's what a lot of people expected, including myself. I think it's this first one. This, like, it's just so hard right now to like see people leaving where they are, going somewhere else. Also, with the city settling down, I think the only thing that's kind of pushing people to go somewhere else at this point is if it's closer to where they currently live.
We do have another signing that Ooh. I may have missed, but may be able to put the speculation to bed. Sean Scannone is back with the Outlaws through 2025.
Speculation about what?
Well, there was a lot of people saying because he is a free agent with Dylan Ward, go back to the Outlaws.
Oh, no.
But we'll see how that all shakes out. Sean Scannone.
Oh, that could still happen.
Yeah.
That could still be a
sign and trade, but as of now,
stays there, and he backs up Dylan Ward. No, he's like good, but he's not.
He's a starter in this league,
but with the guys coming in, is he? Because I don't know. I personally am putting Chase Erlin and Liam Entman over him. Me personally, but I'm also.
I get Liam for sure.
Like, I'm also a coach and like a person that has the mindset of the quicker you get that younger guy in that you want to take over, probably the better. Because like, sure, they can learn behind someone, but game experience is what really teaches you.
I think we as a lacrosse community also always forget how young Sean Scannone is.
Oh, I know how young he is. I'm not.
I'm just saying as a collective, like, yeah. He's one of those guys that feels older than he is. Like, he's only 26.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'll rattle it off here. Burnmore.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas is a huge question mark.
Yeah.
Kirsty is with Boston. Jack Kelly right now with the Woods for at least another year, I believe.
The Woods are drafting. Anyway, I do, in fact, know that. I can't tell you how I know that.
I was just fact-checking. He is a free agent. Both guys are free agents. So, I mean, technically on paper, Redwoods, question mark, in terms of just overall goalie room.
They're drafting. I do know that.
Well, yeah, we both know that. But
I know who they
in terms of just entire goalie room, it's a question mark. Atlas is a question mark of who's even going to be in that goalie room.
Right.
The Archers, it's Dauber.
And Washoot is going to back him up.
Blaze, obviously.
I think is his backup spot open now?
Cotter's still there. Also, Gout's still there.
That was Whips. Whips need a backup.
Brian Phipps retired.
Yeah.
Then who am I forgetting? Cannons. Oh, Dogs. It's Wardo's a free agent, and then DeLuca.
Oh, with them. Dogs.
Yeah. It's Wardo and is a free agent, and then DeLuca is still under contract.
Why does it still feel like we're missing?
Cannons, Whips, Dogs, Atlas,
We got them all, but like chaos. It felt like we were missing
Outlaws, Archers. Because the Outlaws don't really have a backup goalie, I would say.
Well, no, I was just saying like teams. I thought we were missing a whole team, and like it just felt off. But yeah, no, they. It wasn't. Well, it wasn't Owen McElroy.
Maybe. Yeah, it might have been McElroy.
Unless he's a free agent.
He's not on their list. So he might have already been signed through whenever.
Huh?
He's not on like their free agent list, so he might have been like signed through 2025. I'm looking right now though. Yeah, it's Owen McElroy. Ooh. Well, he signed through 2024. So he's still good through this season upcoming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Scannone being back is huge for them. I think he's a locker room guy for sure. He's a leader on that team, and I think they need that going into this year. So we'll see how the rest of the PLL hot stove shakes out. Champ Series coming up in a week. Stoked for that. Can't wait to be there. More than likely, myself going to be there all week with CFO Margie, which is going to be a doozy of a time. So come say what's up. I'm going to have to order a plethora of gummy sharks for the people. But yeah, we'll see what other signings happen. It's interesting that some teams are making a bunch of signings, some teams haven't made a single one or like one or two, but that's the name of the game. We'll see, you know, what happens once free agency truly opens and what some of these guys want to do in terms of home cities being a factor and everything. But I was talking to Rosie this past week because he was at the Wings and Thunderbirds game in Philly, and he was like, man, we thought free agency last year was crazy. This year is going to be another level of crazy.
I mean, there's still some big names that are out there that haven't had anything going on yet. And free agency hasn't officially started yet either. So we have that piece going on as well. I'm excited to see how things shake out. And if guys are like waiting on the draft before they decide to make a decision, like there's, I agree. We're going to be in for it this summer, or I guess in the summer. And then the summer is going to be crazy. I would imagine the Woods are going to be moving some people around or acquiring new pieces. And they can't be the only ones. Whip Snakes definitely have talked about making moves to acquire younger pieces. So, like, we know there's moves coming. We just don't know who they're going to be or what move they're going to make.
But as we shift from the PLL hot stove, we'll get to our college recap with Portal Jones. It's brought to you by Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game, from sunglasses to blue light glasses to prescription lenses. And of course, those ski and snow goggles, they've got you covered with the best eyewear products in the game for a fraction of the big eyewear company's prices. I've got my blue light glasses right here. Dude, my eyes this week were on fire so much Monday from all the recording and going nonstop. I had my awesome blue light glasses on at my day job all day, and everyone was like, what happened to your contacts? I was like, I don't wear contacts. These are just blue light glasses. I was like, my eyes have been on fire, and I need to protect them from these ridiculous UV and ridiculous just blue light and crazy lights that are in this store, because my eyes are on absolute fire. And tell you what, it helped. It reduced the stress on my eyes, reduced the stress in my brain from getting a headache. And you can do the same. Go to TomahawkShades.com or go to your App Store or Google Play Store and download the Tomahawk Shades app. And when you fill up your cart with everything you need from sunglasses to blue light glasses and everything in between. And I want to pull open the app because right now their winter sale is going on and you can get up to 85% off when you download the app. The code is in there. So download that app or fill up your cart and use code USP at checkout for 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com or in the Tomahawk Shades app. That's TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store or Google Play Store and use code USP for 25% off your order. Lay it on me, Deej. Jones, welcome to the show.
We're back. It's February. Everybody's favorite month of the year. Unless you were a certain place on Jansic. No. we're coming back and we'll start D3 this time, especially because it's week zero. Only one notable D3 team played week zero. It was Salisbury, and they went and put the schlacking on Barry, who's D3 down in Georgia, 29-6. So they started the year off strong, and we'll look to get back to another championship and win another one. So the defending champs are off to a great start heading into week two of the season. I'll see if I can find out. They'll be playing Grove City next week. Let me see if there's anything big in D3 that I want to run through. I'm not seeing anything that like stands out for D3 except for that Salisbury game. Let me check Sunday as well. Yeah, nothing like big coming on that second weekend. And I'm surprised at how many teams still aren't playing by week two. But nonetheless, we'll hop into D2. I know they had a little bit going on week one. UIndy went down and played Alabama Huntsville. Huntsville is gave them a run and is looking to get back into things as a D2 squad. 13-9 dub for UIndy.
I don't want to cut you off. The Water Dogs just tweeted a clip of Jake Caraway to promote Champ Series and everything. And obviously he was on Atlas last year. The clip, they blurred out his Atlas jersey.
That's bad.
That is hilarious. Oh, it's so funny.
Tough L for my guy Carter, that I coach with in the summer. He's down at Florida Tech. They lost to Rollins to open up their season. Lenore Ryan, defending champs, get the best of Barden, 18-10, open up their year. And Lincoln Memorial, where my co-coach for summer, Rhodes Conroy, is a captain and attackman over there. They win big, 18-8 over Chowan. So sounds like their season is off to the kind of start that they want it to be. Check Sunday. UIndy starting off 2-0, beating Montevallo, 13-6. And Dominican in California is off to a great start as well. I actually saw that. I think they're 2-0 to start their season as well. They're 1-0. They took down CSU Puebla 15-11, getting back into D2 for the first time this year. Let's see if Mercyhurst is in action at all. Yeah, they're going to play Wingate on Saturday. Anybody else? Florida Tech's going to take on Limestone, so I'll be keeping an eye out on that. Lincoln Memorial takes on Alabama Huntsville. So those are kind of just some notable D2 games for my eye, depending on, you know, guys that I'm looking at and used to coach with, play with. But the big part is what we're here for, D1, right? Duke, B.O., and Josh Zawada absolutely did their thing, putting up a 20-burger on Bellarmine, 2012. So they were able to get back into this game toward the end and score a couple, like, goals in a row. But that was kind of on the backup, so. You know how garbage time points go. Either way, big win for Duke, and I'm excited to see what their offense is going to look like for the rest of the year. High Point doubles up Mercer, 14-7. Denver looked awful with no decals. Did you see them shits? Them are some of the worst helmets I ever seen, and I coach a team that got different colored helmets. That's wild. But they went out there and did what they had to do against Hop. That's now 12 in a row for season openers. Denver's won 12 straight season openers. And this one they were supposed to lose because they were down a handful and marched their way back in and won it overtime. So shout out to the Pios. Mary Mac continuing to do well in D1 lacrosse. They win 14-10 over Bucknell. Navy absolutely trumps the Mount. Ohio State pulls out a tough win at home against Utah, who tried to get back in it at the end. As we all know, Penn State drops a heartbreaker at home to Colgate, who absolutely partied for just a short time because 2 days later they were back in action. Maryland barely escapes a double overtime game against Richmond, in which they celebrated like it was a national championship, and that was basically embarrassing. Not that Richmond is a bad program, but realistically, they shouldn't have been in a game like that with Maryland. Shouldn't have been going to double overtime. Shouldn't have went to overtime. Game shouldn't have probably been closer than 5 goals, yet Maryland's celebrating like, they just beat Duke in the national championship. So I don't know if Maryland's really back yet, to be honest. Rutgers over Lehigh, 14-12 in a nail-biter. Love that. NJIT upsets St. John's. Syracuse is absolutely rolling. I'll touch on them a little bit later. As they beat Vermont 20-7. Cleveland State gets an OT winner over VMI. Hofstra 21-9. I mean, sheesh, a dub piece like that is crazy. Loyola Maryland over Georgetown and calling G-Town frauds from day one. That's an upset, and I don't see Georgetown remaining in the top 10 for long because they did not look good.
And that take game. On Georgetown, they missed Jack Rowlett.
Oh, yeah, they definitely missed Jack Rowlett. That's not even like – that's not a take. That's just a fact. We all know that.
But it's crazy that we can say that after 1 week.
Because I'm going to touch on that in a second, too. Marquette doubling up Air Force, like I mentioned earlier, 12-6 on that scoreboard. You get the same thing for Providence, who looked very, very good against Holy Cross. Like, granted, it was Holy Cross, and it's only a 12-6 victory. But if you watched that game, the Friars dominated every part of that game and looked good. Mercer bounces back from their loss to Hampton. They are from their loss to High Point, and they give Hampton a 15-point loss to take back to the crib, 20-5 at home over them. And Stony Brook absolutely balls out on the road, 17-14, in what was actually an offensive explosion against Sacred Heart for both sides. So that was fun to watch. Syracuse going out winning 18-10 against Colgate in just two games. In just two games, you can get at Tuaraton to 22. Get at to him right now. That's his. 22 out here, bro.
22. Can you do something for me?
I don't know. Did you watch the two games I watched? Because he did plenty for me.
Man.
22 was out there doing it.
That's my dog right there.
22 is different, bro. 22 is different. Give him the Tuaraton. And I'd be watching out for Syracuse because they're exciting. Their defense is aggressive, but aggressive in a good way to where they don't take the penalties they took. They like no one was upset about them. And I couldn't even be upset. Like I was watching it. Like one of my kids picks up a penalty like that. I'd probably tell them it wasn't a penalty. Like they were playing that kind of defense where they were being so aggressive but making the right plays and making mistakes at 100% effort and speed. So it's like, how can I be upset at that? Syracuse has a very good chance of being one of the Final Four teams Memorial Day weekend.
Question for you, speaking of Syracuse, what did you make of that the chokehold heard around the world?
Hey.
I wanted your take on that because I saw our boy Dom chiming in on it as well. You know, if it's something like that, Dom is going to find it.
To me,
Dom said it would have been on site if somebody did that to him.
I mean, but bro was trying to get active with it. I'll tell you, and it's the reason why I didn't play offense because I have a mind like Dom. If you do something like that to me, I'm getting up swinging.
And Dom did play offense. Dom was an attack.
I don't have words for you. None of that. I don't. I'm swinging. Period. Because you just
that boy would have been like the Wonder Years came out swinging from a South Philly basement,
bro. I promise you. Because what do you mean? Bro RKO'd him on purpose.
Randy Orton slithering down the aisle. There's no RKO.
No way.
Someone needs to do one of those classic YouTube 1.0 videos for us and edit in Randy Orton doing an RKO in that Syracuse play. Please. I'm begging.
Because bro got up and was active. He was in his face all the way over to the box. I was like, I mean, granted, it's right. But, like, realistically, it was just a regular lacrosse play where he tried to reach over and then he got a piece of him and just dragged him to the ground. Like, was it rough? Yeah, does it happen that often? No, but it wasn't, like, flagrant. He wasn't, like, trying to pick him up and body slam him. Like, he just tried to get in with his stick and ended up getting him around the neck and going down. Like,
my boy was getting ready for WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, he was. And then Tuesday, wrapping up the week, Hop comes out and gets a big win over neighbors down the street, literally simply just a mile apart, the Townsend Tigers. Hey, Brett Wetzel. I know I ain't never really called you Brett. Coach? If you wasn't paying attention to the helmets that Townsend had on, matter of fact, you ain't have to pay attention. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to email you or I'm going to text you, whatever. I'm sending you the clip. That matte black with the gold cage and the white and gold decal, and then they wore the yellow, the yellow porthole with black shot or black shorts. What you waiting on? What you waiting on? Tell me. You got the yellow porthole. You got black shorts. What you waiting on? We need the matte black helmet with the gold cage ASAP. ASAP. And I already know what you're finna say to me. Donate. Say less. Say less. I'll donate to that. Send out the link that you're going to buy those helmets, and I'll donate. No kids. No kids whatsoever.
Is old buddy related to Wetzel's Pretzels? Because I ain't never heard anybody with that name other than Wetzel's Pretzels.
Now I'm going to have to ask him. I'm going to have to ask him now because I don't know.
Because if he is like an heir to the Wetzel's Pretzels throne, he could donate and that's to this podcast and get a sponsor. So subscribe.
Big facts. He is from upstate New York too. So he played at SUNY Potsdam. There's a chance.
Stand by.
While he's looking that up, Hopkins did look good offensively, 13-5. Russell Melendez and company took care of Townsend and starting their trek to win the Baltimore rivalry. All they got to do is beat Loyola because you know they're going to get a shot at Maryland in Big Ten. So they're on that trek to have the Baltimore crown to themselves.
Wetzel's Pretzel started in California.
Ooh, okay. That don't mean nothing though. And then, like we mentioned, Georgetown may be missing Jack Rowlett, but you know who's absolutely loving and enjoying him? Boston U. St. Joe came to town, and Boston U's defense was just different. You couldn't watch Boston U's defense from last year and look at the Terriers' defense from this year and tell me that those are the same kids, because a lot of them are. A lot of them returned, but when you watch them play, they're playing a completely different style of lacrosse, and it's working. Granted, they gave up 5 goals to the Lenore Ryan transfer into St. Joe, but that's half his team's goals, and they lost. St. Joe lost 14-10. So, sure, he went off for 5, but did he win? No. And that defense will tell you 10 times out of 10, sure, we'll let a guy go for 5 or 6 goals, but did they win? Oh, no? So I don't care. That guy can have all the goals he wants, but did they win? No. Boston U looks good. And if they're going to play defense like that, we're going to be talking about them in the playoffs. And then once we know, that's what we know about NCAA sports. Just get to the tournament. Just get to the tournament. And then anything can happen. So that's week one.
You want my 3 thoughts from week one?
Yeah, before I'll look up. Because
mine will always be dummied down to the easiest of microcosms because I got a lot going on. I don't have an opportunity to sit down and watch all of these games, but I follow along on social media and see some of the things happen. So these are my takeaways. We already touched on one. Number 22, he keeps that motherfucking thing on him. Joey Spallina, Spallie God. He's a dog. Loyal listener of the show, too, allegedly. Shout out to Colgate. That goal was crazy. Shout out to the broadcast team broadcasting that game for Colgate. And shout out to them for being one of our most viewed TikToks. Follow us at OTB LaxPod. Because that was crazy. The other takeaway I had from this weekend, I literally had the three in my brain. It was Spallina, it was Colgate, and Ohio State 110% caught the dub, because as soon as we posted the episode on Friday, Nick Myers followed us and got the OTB bump.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I could get down with that.
And I feel like him following us was his bat signal to saying, boys, I'm down to come on the pod.
Yeah, he's down. We knew that already.
But now it's like official. Like, he flipped on that bat signal and said, call me, beat me if you want to reach me. Shout out Kim Possible.
Call me, beat me. No.
Shout out to Rufus, bro. Rufus, one of the most underrated Disney Channel characters.
Bro, don't even get me started on Rufus. Don't even get me started. Rufus, my dog, bro. He's a real one. Rufus heavy. He is the realest of the real when it comes to Disney characters. Because not all of them was real.
Facts.
But Rufus is. Week two. Syracuse takes on Manhattan tonight, as you guys are listening to this. That's a Friday night one. So tune into that. Be ready. Syracuse is probably going to bomb on these dudes like they always do. And 22 is going to have a game. Like I said, give them the Tauratin. Army and UMass going to do their thing up north on Saturday. Duke and High Point, that's always one to circle in February, because as we know, Duke has dropped that one to High Point multiple times in February. And then there's a ton of good games on this weekend. Air Force and Denver doing their thing out in the West in Colorado. John Hopkins and Georgetown over here on the East Coast. Will you be able to see if G-Town is really frauds or not? Because J-Hop is going to make them play. I'll tell you that much. Like, they're going to step on the field with J-Hop. They're going to have to play and bring their best. Loyola and Maryland are going to battle off in the battle for that state that uses its flag for everything. Ohio State and Cleveland State battling for the state of Ohio, and I kind of think we know how that one's going to turn out. Villanova and Penn State, they're doing it again. There you go. Your Wildcats are out on the field. You got to tune in, bro.
Nova Nation, bro. We're on the main line.
I think Rutgers and Stony Brook will be good. Rutgers is always been a great team and will continue to be able to bring in talent. But Stony Brook the past couple of years has continued to elevate, and that's going to be a game to watch. Obviously, you know which one I'm tuned into. I don't care what time the game is, what I'm doing, it don't matter. It don't matter. Whether it's on my phone, a tablet, a desktop, a laptop, my projector, Xbox, it don't matter. Michigan, Virginia will be on a screen near me, and I will be watching. I will be watching. That one's going to be exciting. Colgate-Hobart battling for New York is always a fun one.
Hobart sounds like a cartoon-ass character, bro. That's like a fat Cyclops. That's the name. Hobart is the name of the Cyclops from Chalk Zone. That's what that motherfucker's name looked like. Hobart.
We're in a good part of the year, though, because we're getting lacrosse Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. St. John's going to host Quinnipiac for our only game Monday.
Shout out Stephen Pat.
Maybe Detroit Mercy will be able to do the funniest thing ever and beat Marquette, right? Which would give their lacrosse team more wins than their basketball team. Their basketball team is 0-24 at the very moment. So yeah. They have a chance to do the funniest thing like ever.
They might be able to catch the Pistons at that point.
Facts. Michigan is back in business again on Tuesday, taking on Canisius. St. John's has the tough job trying to slow down. I said St. John's.
You said Canisius.
Uh-oh.
Gesundheit.
Bro, St. John's it has the tough job of trying to slow down Hofstra. And Providence will take on Merrimack in a battle of unbeatens. And then Wednesday, Notre Dame, defending champions. And Division I men's lacrosse will finally take the field again as they welcome in Cleveland State for their opener. And then we'll be back next week to recap it all.
Shall we do the TLN Games of the Week picks?
Let me pull mine up.
We both had the same picks last week, so we both went 3 for 5.
Yep.
Because Hopkins choked.
Yep.
Maryland almost choked. And who else choked last week?
Shoot, let me check. I think I can see. Shoot. Let me pull it back up, actually, the scores from last week. That will tell me. Did you pick Utah?
No, I picked Ohio State.
Was Penn State one?
Penn State might have been one.
Did you pick Georgetown?
Who did they play again?
Loyola.
That might have been the one we fucked up.
No, you fucked up. Or no, we had the same pick.
We had the same picks. I said we both went 3 for 5.
Well, we missed the Hop one for sure.
We missed Hop, and I think
Penn State was the other one.
No, I think it was Georgetown. I don't think Penn State was.
I didn't pick Georgetown. I picked Maryland or Loyola.
I forget.
I'm pretty sure it was Penn State Colgate. But yeah, I wish we could go back. But oh well, annoying. We both know that we're 3 and 5.
3, 4, 5. You know. 3 and 2.
Yeah.
Because there was only 5 games in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You got me. Math is hard.
TLN games this week. Hopkins, Georgetown, Loyola versus Maryland, Michigan, Virginia, Villanova, Penn State, and Army, UMass.
Obviously, I went with J-Hop because I think Georgetown is frauds. So yeah, that one was easy. I went with the Greyhounds over Maryland. Maryland's game against Richmond really made me skeptical of kind of what it is. And weird theory here, but the number one does not belong on the defensive side for Maryland. They have not been looking good with the number one down on the defensive side last year or this year. So just a weird little theory thing to throw out there. But, yeah, dude, I'm not liking – not that Zapatello doesn't look good in it and he's not playing well, but the vibe of Maryland seems to be off when the number one is down on a long pole. And then I chose Virginia because as much as it hurt and I would love to watch Michigan beat Virginia, we lost this game 14-9 last year, and both these teams – are pretty much reloading, and Michigan lost a couple guys realistically. I took Virginia for that stance point. I don't know much about Villanova, so I more so leaned on the fact that Penn State's angry at losing that game against Colgate, so I have them bouncing back and defending home field after losing one on their home field. And then I got Army taking care of business against UMass. UMass is good, but Army's consistently winning the Patriot League and heading to the playoffs.
Yeah, we got the same picks again.
Could be good or bad, man.
3-2 last week, not too shabby. Shout out to TLN, doing big things. And you can do the TLN College Pick'em in the PLL app, which has been a godsend of an app for DJ and I across the board with the PLL, and now doing the College Pick'em in there. We are officially up to something. Hopefully within the next couple of days, we can full-fledged announce it and have everybody locked and loaded. But I'll save the speech for when it's actually announced. But shout out to everybody who listens to the pod.
Big facts.
Because without y'all, happens. This shit wouldn't even be close to happening. So shout out to everybody who listens, subscribes, and watches. We'll be back next week. I'll be coming at you from Champ Series, probably in a hotel, and Deej will be chiming in throughout the week. We'll have fun videos and everything coming out from Champ Series. So that's why you got to follow us at OTB Laxpod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Subscribe to the pod. Subscribe to the pod. Deej, tell them.
Subscribe to the pod.
Apple, Spotify, leave a 5-star rating and review. YouTube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Help us get to 800 subscribers. Then we're on that road to 1K, baby. And then from there, it's going up to 100K. We're plaque chasing. And then I was talking to Deej last night. We really want to get to the milestone of having more subscribers than the population of Iceland, which is a little over 370,000. Help us get bigger than Iceland. Let's make that happen. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Get your merch at PHIapparel.co. Code underground for 10% off your merch orders. And this has been episode number 309. Actually, Deej, we got to make this prediction now, because by the time we record, Champ Series will be underway. Who do we have winning Champ Series 2024? Or do we just wait, because there is the off day? You know what? We'll save it for next week. We'll save it for now. You let us know who you think's going to win Champ Series in the YouTube comment section. But this has been episode number 309 of the allegedly and probably award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse pod on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Enjoy this weekend of lacrosse. We'll see you at Champ Series. We'll see you next week on the pod. Appreciate the hell out of all y'all. Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.